More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, made in God's image. Are you struggling with self-esteem or self-acceptance? Are other people making you feel less than worthwhile? We'll help you discover your worth in God's eyes. 877-573-7825.
Have a great marriage and family and personal life.
Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn.
Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, made in God's image. We've all heard that phrase from the scripture, that we are made in God's image and likeness. But we don't, I think, really reflect on what that means in terms of our relationships with ourselves. And the fact that we are truly blessed and beloved by God, and what that means, in terms of our relationship with ourselves. What does it mean to have a healthy sense of self-esteem or self-acceptance? Yes, we are all sinners. Yes, we are all broken. And yes, we all need to be saved and redeemed. But how we approach that process depends a lot on whether we really recognize what it means to be made in God's image and likeness, or if we think that we are less than worthwhile and have to flog ourselves into being something that we're not, being better than we actually are. And that approach, really does tend to wear us out. So call up and share. Do you tend to beat up on yourself about something? Is it hard for you to see your worth or value the gifts that God has given you? Do you tend to feel guilty any time you stand up for yourself or try to take care of yourself? Do you struggle to see the difference between healthy love of self versus pride or selfishness? And perhaps there's somebody in your life that tends to undermine your dignity or make you feel less than in some way, and you're not sure how to either deal with them or recover from that treatment. Let's talk about that today so that we can celebrate the fact that we are truly made in God's image and likeness. The number to call, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825.
This is such a tough one for everyone, isn't it? Because we don't want to fall into the sin of pride, which of course is not about being made in God's image and likeness. It's about standing aside from God and saying, I am so wonderful, everybody should turn me into an idol and realize how wonderful I am, instead of giving God the credit for being perfect and wonderful and loving and merciful and kind and creating us to live in his image, to be all of those things to the world. That's very different than puffing ourselves up completely. But in response to not wanting to be prideful, we often deride ourselves or have people in our brains that tell us that, we better not be too big for our britches. We better not think too much of ourselves. There's a whole lot in the world that wants to rob God's image and likeness from us in an attempt to keep us humble, but really it's an attempt to browbeat us and keep us away from God's grace. It's complicated to live this out, and sort of a tightrope walk of doing this in a way that's healthy for us, that's holy for us, that gives God glory, but also lets us feel a sense of the fact that we were created in a divine image. Balancing that is difficult, and the day-to-day life is difficult. As I said, those messages that we get as we're growing up or even as adults from other people that live in our brains rent-free and just wreak havoc with our self-esteem, with our ability to make good and virtuous choices because we're always running ourselves down and think we deserve less. Those people in our present life who are somehow making us feel less than we are and putting us in a place where we struggle to be able to feel good about ourselves, to have the energy to do good things and make good choices because of the way they treat us, or those situations that feel like, oh my goodness, we're so unequal to them, we must not be as good as we should be. All of those things can really make us struggle with our self-esteem, our well-being, and our ability to lead good and godly lives. And if you're struggling with that, or you have somebody in your life who is and you don't know how to help them, let us help you today get new skills and new grace by giving us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
The show is titled Made in God's Image and Likeness, and we're talking about what that actually means to our relationship with ourselves. How do we learn to love ourselves in healthy ways? What does that even mean for the Christian? You know, do we tend to beat up on ourselves? Is it hard for you to see your worth or your talents or gifts or abilities without feeling like somehow that's prideful? Do you tend to struggle with feeling guilty about standing up for yourself or trying to take care of yourself? Maybe you have a hard time really understanding the difference between a healthy love of self or pride, or maybe someone is running you down and you're not sure how to deal with that or recover from the after effects of it. 877-573-7825. I do want to start by talking about the difference between, you know, pride and an appropriate love of self. The theology of the body reminds us that love is working for the good of a person. It's working for that person's ultimate good. Loving ourselves means being committed to working for our ultimate good. Part of that means recognizing that we're not perfect, that we do struggle, that there are things about us that need to grow and change. And that acknowledging that, you know, those imperfections is part of loving ourselves. Because by acknowledging those things, we can see the areas that we need to improve. But then, the other part of loving ourselves means looking at those imperfections in a way that is kind and merciful and leads to our potential growth. You know, we look at those weaknesses not as an opportunity to say, you know, shame on me, bad me, but as an opportunity to say, I want to work with God to improve on that. I want to work with God to make this better, to grow in ways that I can be pleased with, that would be pleasing to God. And I'm going to celebrate the gifts that God has given me to do that work. Not because I'm such hot stuff, but because God is so good that He gave me these things and I should be joyful about it. If you give your kids a gift, do you want them to be happy about the gift? Do you want them to oh, thank you so much for the gift. I'm not worthy of the gift.
Yeah, I'd be heartbroken.
That would be horrible.
Oh, I don't deserve this. Please return it. No thanks, Mom and Dad. Whoa, you'd know that they were really unable to receive your love, that something was really wrong.
At the same time, you know, if they were so in love with the gift that they took you for granted, then that would be a problem too. But healthy self-love is like if you give your kid a gift and they are grateful for the gift and grateful to you and celebrating the gift but not forgetting the giver.
Yeah, and enjoy it. And when they are enjoying that gift, say, especially if your kids are small, that toy or whatever it is, you get joy out of seeing them enjoy it. And sometimes they even say, thank you so much for getting this for me. I love this so much. That's a healthy sense of understanding why the gift is there and the love that was behind giving the gift.
And so recognizing that we have gifts, that we have talents, that we have abilities, and even celebrating that. You know, I'm so grateful that I'm able to do this. Thank you, God, for giving me the ability for this. I'm so pleased with, you know, the talent that I have or the strength that I've been given. And I see that I'm grateful to God for that. That's a healthy thing. It's only prideful at the point where we forget the giver or we think we don't need other people. You know, because pride is really not the sin of loving yourself too much. It's the sin of thinking you're the only thing that matters. It's the sin of not feeling like you don't need anybody else because you have so many, or you're afraid to let other people in because if you do, then you won't be able to achieve your goals, where it's all about you. But let's unpack this for the rest of the program. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about the idea of being made in God's image. What does that really mean to our relationship with ourselves? Do you struggle with loving yourself? Do you tend to beat up on yourself? Maybe it's hard for you to see your worth or your gifts, or to know whether it's even okay to acknowledge those things. Perhaps you feel guilty when you stand up for yourself or try to take care of yourself. Or maybe other people are running you down. And it's really getting to you. It's gotten under your skin, and you're not sure how to either deal with them or heal from that treatment. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, I touched on this briefly, but, you know, every day on the show, we look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for those of you who aren't aware, the Theology of the Body was St. John Paul's reflection on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world, and how we can discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
And as we look at the theology of the body today, we can pause and see that we all tend to think that the more we beat up on ourselves, the more seriously we are taking the need to make changes in our lives. It's something we all fall into. But the theology of the body reminds us that each person is an image of God imbued with unimaginable dignity, and that the only logical response to another person is love. And that includes, as you were saying, Greg, loving ourselves, which doesn't occur to most of us.
Well, and again, loving ourselves means working for our ultimate good, just like loving anybody else means working for their ultimate good. But even more, the theology of the body reminds us that by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of our bodies, we can learn something about what He intends for our life and relationships. And sure enough, if you look at the way the brain is designed, brain researchers tell us that when we beat up on ourselves, it actually creates a chemical reaction in the brain that prevents the growth of new neural connections, which are necessary for growth and change to occur. In fact, if we're serious about making real change in our lives, the same studies show that by being loving and encouraging to ourselves, we create chemical conditions that actually allow neuroplasticity, those connections that allow learning and growth to occur. God's design of our body reminds us that we are called to love ourselves because that's the only way we can grow and change. Again, loving ourselves doesn't mean ignoring the fact that we need to grow, because loving ourselves means working for our ultimate good, which begins by realizing, yes, there are things that need to change, but we need to approach that change compassionately. 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Do you tend to beat up on yourself? Do you struggle with forgiving yourself or loving yourself or even recognizing that you've been given gifts that deserve to be celebrated? Maybe you tend to feel guilty when you stand up for yourself or try to take care of yourself, or you can't forgive yourself for past mistakes. Maybe there's someone in your life who is constantly running you down, a parent, a spouse, someone who's supposed to be a friend, and you're not sure how to deal with that or heal from that treatment. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Let's bring our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and
the Son,
and the Holy
Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making us in your image and likeness, and we praise you for all of the wonderful things you are doing in us and with us and through us. But Lord, we do recognize that we are broken and we are fallen and we disappoint ourselves and other people all the time. And it's hard to know how to respond to those to that fact lovingly. How to, on the one hand, acknowledge the very many blessings you've given us, and on the other hand, recognize the many, many ways that we let you and others down. Help us in all things to learn to love ourselves in ways that please you, in ways that allow us to work for our ultimate good, meaning that we are working to be the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people that you created us to be, so that we can be in communion with you and be a witness to the world of your glory and power in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, Made in God's Image. We're talking about self-esteem, self-acceptance. Those are kind of dirty words in Christian circles, it seems like, sometimes, because we feel like that we confuse them with pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets very, very mixed up in a very worldly idea of what self-esteem means.
But there is a Christian sense of this, you know, where we love, well, even Jesus says, love one another as you love yourself. So what does that mean? How do we love ourselves in a healthy way as Christians? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First time I'm calling.
Well, thanks for calling in.
There.
Yeah. What can we do for you?
Okay, so I do beat myself up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I have a family living with us, a daughter, son-in-law, and two grandchildren. And, sometimes some days are easier and some days are tougher. And then also, I'm also helping take care of my 95-year-old father who has dementia. So
does he live with you, Lisa, or do you go somewhere to take care of him?
He lives with my sister.
Okay.
And so I'm one of the caregivers. There are times I have to be there, like two or three consecutive days the situation arises. And so dealing with all of this, sometimes I lose my patience. Sometimes the family that lives with me, they don't do things the way I would do them in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times that I get impatient or I lose my temper. And then I just feel so guilty, and I do beat up on myself.
Okay.
And, my dad has dementia, so he can't help a lot of things that he does. And and I do try to have a lot of patience with him. But so
let's talk about that. I mean, what would it mean to love yourself in this situation? Let's look at, so you've got, on the one hand, right, you've got this very real reality that sometimes it gets to you. I mean, and let's face it, you've got a very full plate, right? And I think that, first of all, let me put it this way. Let's talk about guilt, right? When guilt is from the Holy Spirit and it's healthy, what it does is it enables us, we sort of have this sense of conviction of, okay, hey, Greg, you kind of blew this. But then immediately we get the sense of, and this is how I want you to respond to it better. It's not just shame on you for doing that. If it's the Holy Spirit, it's, hey, I need you to do this better. Let's look at what you need to do, right? So there's a sense of yes, I'm convicted, but then I have conviction about doing it better. And that's the main focus. It's like 95% of healthy guilt is that sense of hope and vision of, I want to do this differently. I'm going to approach this in this way that helps me see how I could learn from this and grow from this. Unhealthy guilt, what we call scruples, is from the devil. It's a desolation from Satan. And what it feels like is this focus on the fault. Oh, I blew it. Oh, I'm a terrible person that I blew it. What's wrong with me? Oh, my dad deserves so much better for me. Oh, he can't help it. What's wrong with me for feeling?
I should be able to handle all of this for all of these people, make everybody happy, and not have any expectations of anybody else.
No, so that doesn't help anything, though, right? Because it just makes you feel miserable. It doesn't actually increase your ability to do a better job next time. So what I want you to do, on the one hand, yes, recognize that sometimes you lose patience, but I want you to step back then and look at what's stopping you from having more patience. Well, you're stressed to the limits, right? So what would you need to do to take better care of yourself so that you would have the ability to be more patient, to be more loving, to be more generous? And that's the loving response to this, acknowledging the fact that, yes, I'm struggling here, but what do I need to do to get more resources? Not just will myself to a better place, but take better care of myself so I can respond to this better.
And I want to be, I'm so glad you said to get more resources, Greg, because often we feel when we hear your first words, which were, what can we do to take better care of ourselves? We think that on top of being a caregiver to the whole wide world, we should be able to fit in salon visits and trips to a spa, and we should be able to exercise off that, you know, last whatever number of pounds, and it's not about that. When you're saying, what do I need to do to get the resources I need, you're talking about, how do I sit down with the family and come up with a system to take care of the house so everybody's doing it, not necessarily my way, but in a way that really works for the flow of the household, whether that's daily schedules and who gets whom where, to how the kitchen gets cleaned up at the end of the night, to how the laundry is done and put away, where you actually have a planning meeting and write it down so everyone can see it, so that you don't have to give as much, that you have a schedule for who cooks what nights, and if you get called out to take care of Dad, what's the meal that's going to be made, so that you don't have to worry about that on top of something else. Those little things that give you more resources and hold other people accountable to run a household and a life with you are part of that. You need to be able to tap into that and say, I'm loving myself this way.
But you whatever the specifics are that you do to take care of yourself, the main thrust of this is, don't just say, I can will myself to doing better by feeling guilty about it. It's the guilt is pointing you to the fact that your reserves are being depleted. What can you do to increase those reserves so that you can do better? That's what loving yourself through this really means. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825 about what it means to really love yourself, even in those times when you tend to beat up on yourself or struggle with those.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John wants to talk about being transformed. The Eucharist, it's the source and summit of our lives as Christians. We know it to be Jesus himself, but do we recognize what Jesus is doing through this precious gift for us? Join us this week as Father John shows us how through the Eucharist, Jesus transforms us to be more like him, and later in the week when he answers why there's so many different religions. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Well, Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today, our show is titled Made in God's Image, as we look at what it means as a Christian to love ourselves. And joining us right now, Rachel Isaac is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She's also the director of the St. Sebastian Center for Performance Excellence. And she's joining us today to talk about what it means to love ourselves. Hey, Rachel. Welcome to More to Life.
Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you with us. Now, we've been talking a lot through the show about some of the whys that our self-esteem can lag, but do you have some tips on what we can do to start improving that self-esteem?
Definitely. And I think, you know, like you guys have probably mentioned, you know, our negative self-talk is a very kind of common and natural tendency. Kind of our reactive brain thinks it's a way to kind of weirdly protect ourselves. But really, you know, the opposite kind of happens. And I think that, you know, we need to kind of try to flip this internal script that really usually tears me down, where I'm thinking about all the things that I'm not good at or not enough of. And I think that one of the best ways that we can kind of do that is to try to describe ourselves based on who we are, not who we're not. So what I mean by that is kind of thinking instead about the strengths that we have or the talents that we have or the skills or virtues that kind of make me a capable person. And I think sometimes it's kind of hard to think of our strengths and think of ourselves in that way. So one of my favorite ways to kind of begin flipping that internal script is to kind of begin making notes of things throughout the day that I did well. So, for example, it might be, you know, I let that person in front of me in traffic, or, you know, I had a good conversation with my spouse or coworker, I brought my friend a gift and it made them smile. And then I want to take a step back and reflect on, okay, what strengths or virtues were present for me in that situation that helped me do that well? Maybe I was thoughtful or patient or generous. And then after kind of a few days or, you know, a week or so of kind of tracking those things that I did well and the virtues or strengths that were present in those situations, I kind of begin to see a pattern or see some repeated virtues. And then I kind of end up having this very concrete evidence to say, I am a patient, thoughtful, and generous person, which really makes a difference in the way that I perceive myself.
It's such a just a practical, easy way to do that, and I want to hit this again. You're writing down the things that you did well, every little tiny thing, but then stepping back and actually looking at the virtues and strengths that God has given you and naming them so that later on you can say, oh, I can do that because I am this kind of person. Great, great tips, Rachel Isaac. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And if you'd like to learn more about her work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com, or you can just call us right now and continue the conversation at 877-573-7825.
This show was underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
When a U.S. Catholic hears the word mission, they envision priests, brothers, and sisters in foreign countries. Father William Bishop, founder of Glen Murray Home Missioners, realized that vast regions of our own country, primarily Appalachia and the South, were in need of Catholic missionaries too. Glen Murray is a Catholic community of priests, brothers, sisters, and lay missioners serving Mission Land USA. Come and see if God is calling you to be a Glen Murray missioner. For more information, visit glenmurray.org. That's glenmurray.org.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the raging of the sea, the raging of nations, fire in the sky, just some of the warnings of the end times. Are the end times really near? The answer is both yes and we don't know.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude. Remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me, learn from me, let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled Made in God's Image. We're talking about that idea that we are all made in God's image and likeness, and what that teaches us about our relationships with ourselves. In particular, the idea of self-esteem or self-acceptance, which can sometimes feel like, you know, dirty words for Christians because we confuse them with pride. And there is a difference. What does it mean for a Christian to have good self-esteem, to love themselves? Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Do you tend to beat up on yourself? Is it hard for you sometimes to see your worth or acknowledge your gifts without feeling guilty about it? Do you tend to feel guilty when you stand up for yourself or try to take care of yourself? Maybe you are in a relationship with someone who runs you down, and it's hard for you to feel good about yourself when you see yourself through their eyes, and you're not sure how to respond to that or heal from it. Let's talk it out and find ways for you to celebrate the gift that you are. The gift that literally you are God's gift to the world. I mean that seriously. How do we celebrate that? At 877-573-7825.
Let's talk to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in the Midwest.
Hi there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you. First of all, thank you for your many words of wisdom. And today I wrote down Lisa's two words, unimaginable dignity, and I'm going to put them on my mirror where I stand every morning. I'm in my
80s. Stitch it on a pillow.
Sure, we need that reminder.
Oh,
don't
I
we?
Like that. Yes, on a pillow when you go to bed. But thank you, guys. Anyway, I'm an elderly person, and I have two daughters who pretty much don't speak to me, and they haven't spoken to me for 10 years. And one had finally said, don't send any Christmas cards or gifts or stuff like that. But it's a long story. But it breaks my heart. And at one point we had seen me and my children had seen a psychiatrist. And after we met with him, he told me, he said, if I were you and you value your life, I would have nothing to do with those two girls. Now, they're adults. They're upscale. They're very pretty. They're well married, good mothers, as far as I can see, and both active in their respective Christian churches. But they've kind of written me off. I married a man who was diagnosed alcoholic at Mayo Clinic and chronic womanizer, but very, very, very charming. You know, like a.
And is this person. The girl's father, or was this a marriage after the girls
it's
were
the
born?
The father. No, we just had one. I just had one marriage. I tried my best. I didn't realize till I was into that marriage how. Had I realized how bad it was, I probably wouldn't have had children. But I don't know if sociopathy is inheritable, but for different counselors that had contact with him, including one who had given him a test, said that they suspected, based on his behavior, that he had, they said he had behaviors consistent with sociopathy. So
what can we do for you today? What happens?
Okay, yeah. The problem is, okay, what happens down the line, and then you have these children that grow up in that difficult situation. I finally had to get a divorce when they were, like, middle school, but or younger. But anyway, they've just really, they've written me off. I'm kind of like the scapegoat that has borne the sins of the family out into the desert. And I think there are other mothers like that. And it's really hard because you can give it to Jesus again and again and again, and you can try to love them and try to, you know, send loving contacts. But if they've written you off, you know, they've written you off. And there may or may not have been a sexual abuse involved. I don't know. But it's, you know, it's a possibility. And so it's complicated. But the upshot is, here you are, a parent. And fortunately, I have a third child who is, you know, halfway kind to me, and that makes all the difference in the world. But I unfortunately raised those girls to be have a lot of self-confidence, probably too much. And because I didn't as a child, so I gave them what I needed, but I didn't know how to manage pretty children, pretty girls. So, you know, fast forward, you've got ungrateful children for whatever reason, and it just kills.
Well, they're ungrateful because they think you didn't keep them safe.
Yeah, and you did the best you thought you could, but their life was so chaotic.
And when you say, you know, there could have been sexual abuse, I mean, there's a lot there that you know, that we don't have time to unpack, but that there's a lot there that went on that you know about or you suspect that made your home a very unsafe place for them to grow up. Now, I'm not saying that you're a terrible person. I'm not saying you deserve to be treated this way. Not at all. And I recognize that you did your best. But there was a lot of pain and a lot of sin and a lot of hurt in that home. And I think loving yourself in this situation, again, it doesn't mean patting yourself on the back and saying, you know, I'm good enough and I'm smart enough and gosh darn it, people like me. It doesn't mean, you know, pretending that things are better than they were. What it means is acknowledging the real pain that you all lived in for a very long time and the real pain that you raised your kids in and saying, I want to work for my ultimate good and their ultimate good by becoming as healthy as I can. So this is not about, you know, even necessarily repairing your relationship with your adult kids. This is about you. The best thing you can do for them is to be healthier and to keep getting healthier and to keep working with a good counselor who can help you see the ways that you unintentionally contributed to the pain that they experienced growing up, and how you can be a sign of God's power and strength in their lives, even now that you say they've written you off. But I know that your son talks to them, right? And I know that they hear through the grapevine what's going on. And if they saw a mom going through a real process of healing, if they could hear about all the strides that mom was making and the ways that she's growing and the ways that she's becoming a healthier, more integrated person, that would get their attention. And we talk about this in our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Adult Sons and Daughters, which is really all about building relationship with our adult kids, even if they've written us off. And there's a chapter in there where we talk about, you know, really taking stock of what needs to happen. Even, you know, apologizing for certain things or recognizing our part in the pain that we may have caused. And it's exactly what I'm talking about here. When our adult kids can see us acknowledging our flaws, taking responsibility for that, and actively cooperating with God's grace to heal those psychological, spiritual, relational wounds, that gets their attention. They still want to be in relationship with you. Okay, they do. Every kid wants to be in relationship with their parents. They do. But they're hurt. And somehow being around you brings that hurt back up. And somehow they feel that you haven't been responsive to that hurt. I need you to do the work on yourself that would allow you to be receptive to a real relationship with them. And I really want you to take this to heart and really pray on it. And I'd like you to pick up a copy of our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, because even though you're not talking with them, that book will give you really good steps on how you can begin to create a spiritual bridge for healing by working on the pain that you still carry inside yourself. Thank you so much for the call. 877-573-7825. I want listeners to hear this, though, right? Because I think you get this a lot in secular therapy. You get a lot of people patting you on the head and saying, well, you did the best you could, and oh, you know. I mean, that's all true as far as it goes. But that doesn't really help. And that's not really what loving ourselves is for a
Christian.
Well,
it's also not beating ourselves up that we could have done more or we should have seen better. It's different from that as well.
That's right. What loving ourselves means is committing to working for our ultimate good. So that begins with an honest examination of conscience,
yes,
if you will.
Exactly.
It begins with that honest examination of, I let God, the people around me, myself, down in very specific ways. What are those ways? But then we don't sit in that. We don't wallow in that. What we do is we ask God to give us a way to respond to all of that so that we can do better and continue to grow and continue to heal. And in that, we are working for our ultimate good. We are celebrating the grace that God is bringing into our lives. We are being effective witnesses to His power because people can't help but see how God's working with and in and through us and be drawn to that. Right? But if we either sit and wallow in the brokenness and say, oh, I'm a terrible person, oh, how horrible I am, or we just sort of say, oh, well, I did the best I could, what can I do, I hope it all turns out, we're not a witness to anything except our own brokenness or our own stubbornness or our own hopelessness.
And we're not a witness to anything. We also aren't able to heal anyone who's been wounded by circumstances we were involved in before, whether it was through our own blindness, our lack of wisdom or knowledge, whatever that was. When we work for our ultimate good and we begin to do that healing within ourselves and actively participate in that, that's the only time we get strengthened and are able to tap into virtues we didn't have in strength before, to be able to go to the people who may have been mixed up in our lives and wounded by the circumstances of our lives that we weren't able to effect change in. And we can go to them and say, this is what I'm doing, and I see where your truth is in this, and I want to help heal it. So it not only heals us and works for our ultimate good, but it also works for the ultimate good of the people in our lives. So it's really, it's our marching orders from God. It truly is.
877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about what it means to be made in God's image and likeness. You know, do you tend to beat up on yourself? Is it hard for you to see your worth or the gifts God has given you without feeling guilty, worrying about being prideful? Do you tend to feel guilty any time you stand up for yourself or try to take care of yourself? Or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody who runs you down, and you know it's hard to love yourself when you see yourself through their eyes. Let's talk about what it really means for you as a Christian person to love yourself in your particular circumstances. The number is 877-573-7825, and it's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Psalm 139, verse 14.
I praise you because I am wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works.
It's such an off-putting scripture in some ways.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it sounds like it's either from an old Saturday Night Live sketch making fun of affirmations or something that's really, you know, very New Agey. Or no, folks, this is Psalm 139. This is King David here. This is the man after God's own heart. This is someone not puffing themselves up, because listen to what it starts with. I praise you. What being a child of God is about is recognizing His presence in every cell of our human being, in every thought that we have that gives glory to God, in every virtue we live out, in every gift that He gives. He's the Creator. He's the Redeemer. Well, He's our Creator. We are wonderfully made because wonderful are His works. So King David's not saying they're going, I'm so special. Nope. He's saying, you, God, the Creator of the universe, created me. And because of that, I praise you because I am wonderfully made, because wonderful are all your works, O Lord.
But very much like a child who receives a wonderful gift, he, you know, he pushes this button and says, oh my gosh, look what it does.
Yeah.
And the parent delights in that because the child is just reveling in the gift that he's been given. And so David is looking at his body, he's looking at his accomplishments, and he's saying, this is amazing, and it's all because of God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Look what happens when I do this. That's amazing, God. And that's how God wants us to love ourselves. It's not a bad thing to recognize the gifts that we've been given. In fact, it's a good thing to recognize the gifts we've been given, as long as we remember the giver and remember to praise him. So let's take some time today to do exactly that. 877-573-7825. We're talking about what it means to be made in God's image. How can Christians love themselves in healthy ways? And what does that really mean? How is it different from the world's vision of loving ourselves? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Sarah crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Sarah technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today. CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
God empowers you to stand up for truth. Hi, this is Vanessa Denha-Garmo. And on Saturday, David Malnuchnik will tell us more about his network. Calling All Men, Father Roy Horning will talk about the Catholic Men's Conference. Calling All Mothers, Arlene Carioca shares information about the Mother's Prayer Group. These are just highlights. Tune in on Saturday at 11:30 and Sunday at 3. Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, we're talking about loving ourselves on our show titled Made in God's Image. What does it mean for the Christian to love themselves in a healthy way? 877-573-7825. One struggle that we can have with loving ourselves is when we engage in regular self-destructive, unhealthy habits, for example, the use of pornography. And through CatholicCounselors.com, we've created a program called Connected, which can help those who are struggling with unhealthy attachments, especially to pornography, to have healthy connections with God and the people that love them. I'd really encourage you to, if you are struggling with pornography and you would like healing, learn more about our Connected program at CatholicCounselors.com. It's online. It's a group. It will change your life. It's Connected at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we are taking your calls about learning to love ourselves in spite of our brokenness at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brenda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Brenda. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Well, thank you. I have a daughter who is a lot like my ex-husband, and she is very arrogant, self-centered, and that's part of, I understand, being a teenager, but it's always been to the extreme.
And she's 18, and you say, you told her screener?
Yes. Yes.
And how do you respond to that, I guess? What you know, when she acts that way, what do you do?
I try to be patient. Sometimes I just have to walk away because I can't listen to it.
So you don't have effective responses to it?
No.
What are you doing to learn effective responses to it?
Well, I've learned a lot on YouTube about narcissists, which my ex-husband was, and I believe she is. But unfortunately, compounding that, she was diagnosed with BDD.
Body dysmorphia. All right.
And she so she has very low self-confidence.
Sure, but I guess what I'm asking you, where are you getting the skills to deal with these things, these behaviors and syndromes that she's exhibiting to you?
Faith.
Okay. So I'm gonna rough you up a little bit here, but be patient with me. I mean, faith is wonderful. It's when we pray, we get gas to fill our tank. Okay, but what you're telling me is that you've got a daughter who you suspect has narcissistic personality and body dysmorphia, which are both two very, very serious problems, and you're doing nothing to learn to deal with those things. That's what you just told me. I mean, if your daughter has those problems, you have a big part in creating that dynamic.
And in helping her heal.
So I need you to get off the phone with me and call a good counselor, either the one your daughter is working with or somebody that you really respect, and start getting the skills to learn how to deal with her.
For her sake and for yours.
You know, when she's rude to you and you just either put up with it, you said, I'm patient or I walk away, neither one is a healthy response.
It's not healthy for you. You walk away, but you're probably walking away stewing and angry, again saying, oh, she's just like her dad, which leaves you totally unempowered and in a
she's
place where your self-esteem is going down, and it does nothing to help challenge in a good, healthy way any narcissistic tendency she has, and it's certainly not helping her heal from body dysmorphic disorder, which could destroy her. She needs her mom.
And I need to say, she is not her father. She deserves to be treated
Amen.
As her own person. You
Amen.
Are writing her off by projecting your fear of your ex-husband onto her face.
And I want to say, Brenda, I want to underline what my spouse just said here. It's fear. And I get that. When you've been through what you've been through with her father, it's left you with exactly what we're talking today. You're feeling diminished. You're feeling like you've been through enough. You're feeling a million things that make you say, I can't deal with my daughter. I can't deal with this anymore. But that's not what God wants for you. You are a woman of God with a daughter who is hurting, and you both need to be healing, and you need help from a skilled professional to help you both heal. He doesn't want you to just write this off.
Now, I know where you're going with this in your head, because by the way you describe it, I hear this from clients a lot. Well, she's just like her father, implying it's genetic and there's nothing I can do about it. Let us, for the sake of argument, say that's true. It's not true, by the way, but let's just, for the sake of argument, say that it is. Let's say you had a kid who had a physical deformity or who had some other genetic problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even Down syndrome, for example.
Or a heart deformity, or anything that was just a genetic situation. We could name them for the whole show.
And if you continued to parent that kid as if they didn't have any problems at all.
They were just a typical healthy human being, and you just expected them to act that way.
And you didn't take them to the doctor, or you didn't learn the kind of foods that they needed to eat, or the ways that they needed to be supported. What would that mean about you? That would mean that you were not being the mother that child needed. Well, let's, for the sake of argument, argue that this your daughter inherited all this from her father, you still need to learn how to deal with this kid.
It's one of the reasons he made you her mother, because he knew that she would need more help than somebody who didn't have to deal with what her father handed down to her.
So I don't, please, Brenda, don't use faith as an excuse for not doing anything. Your faith needs to challenge you to do better.
Your faith needs to say, God loves me enough to make me strong enough to deal with this with help. Not all by yourself, with help. God has made my brain and my ability elastic enough to learn new skills to help her. God is going to walk alongside of me, and if I ask him to make me a better mother, a stronger woman of God, he will help by providing the resources I need to learn new skills and to heal myself and to heal my daughter. He's offering healing to you. You don't heal by just sitting there and not doing anything and saying, God will take care of it all. You heal, and it's hard to hear, and it's scary, by walking alongside with what God provides and asking him to provide new skills, new resources.
Hang up from us. Call a therapist right now and make an appointment to learn how to be the woman that God wants you to be, the daughter your mom, the mom your daughter needs you to be, because there is more that for you and your family than you are accepting. And there's more we can do to support you. You can reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. That goes for all of you listeners. If you are struggling to love yourself and know what that means, and in this case, Brenda loving herself means acknowledging her part in this situation and working for her ultimate good by being a stronger woman of God and stronger mom. So if you're ready to acknowledge the challenges that you're facing and do something about them, learn how to do that at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can check out the resources we've mentioned and learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice and work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to change your life. Check it out. God
You've
bless.
Been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.